This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. He's based in Washington, but we're headed to Los Angeles, the opening days of the Summit of the Americas. What is significant here, the ninth gathering, is that the United States hosting a number of countries that are in transition. That's a general diplomatic word for facing the challenges of left of center or farther elections these last months in 2020, 2021, recovering from the virus. However, the added detail is that the uninvited are dominating the headlines. Why? It has to do with Mexico, the very powerful and popular president of Mexico, López Obrador, called affectionately AMLO. Joseph, AMLO has made a declaration, unless, then I will not attend. The unless part had to do with Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba. Unless they are invited, Mexico's not attending. What is it about those three countries that makes the president of Mexico, who's a popularly elected man who does great business in the world, want them to attend this, given their reputations?
So, John, this is something that we've seen about AMLO since the beginning of his presidency. Now, yes, granted, he is the president of Mexico, which is the top trade partner of the United States. We signed a major trade deal with him to kind of revisit the NAFTA agreement. Now we have the USMCA. But at the end of the day, his heart is socialist, and he comes from the socialist networks in Latin America. That's where he built his political base inside Mexico. So he's a very big sympathizer to Hugo Chavez, to Fidel Castro, and the communist networks that dominated the earlier part of the century. And because of that, I think he's kind of like the big brother, so to speak, of Nicolas Maduro, Daniel Ortega, and Miguel Díaz-Canel, of the three most prominent autocracies, authoritarian regimes inside Latin America, and he provides them political cover. And I think that's what he's doing right now. He's actually trying to provide them political cover. He's trying to use the influence that he has as the president of a much bigger, stronger country, Mexico, to be able to use that influence to kind of force the United States or bend the United States' arm to capitulate to its political will. If President Biden does that, he actually shows a lot of weakness in front of these authoritarian regimes for a summit that's supposed to celebrate the Inter-American Democratic Charter, which was signed by the Organization of American States in 2001. So this is kind of a hard situation for Biden, because on one end, you're not going to have the president of the biggest trade partner of the United States in Latin America, your number one neighbor, in the context of all the challenges that we're facing with drugs and migrants. But on the other hand, you don't want to look weak in front of the autocracies and the authoritarians in the neighborhood. So it's kind of like in a lose-lose situation.
We'll see who actually shows up, and there is a workaround, which is to send a member of the cabinet at the ministerial level, I think is the way it's proposed, Joseph. Is that adequate to finesse this? For example, a minister from Havana, a minister from Managua, present as an observer or participant, would that avoid this conflict? We don't have that fact yet. I've just been told that that's a possibility.
Yeah, the thing about that, John, is I think the narrative has already been implemented. It's already been installed. The narrative that the United States is weak, the narrative that the authoritarians are on the rise. And I think AMLO is going to exploit that. I think he wants the United States to look weak. Remember, AMLO was the host of the CELAC meeting last September, where he invited Nicolas Maduro. And that was a lot of controversy, where he got in arguments with a lot of the other Democratic presidents inside Latin America. And the main sponsor of the CELAC meeting was China. So, and that was AMLO. That was AMLO's doing. So I think AMLO has a concerted effort to want to make the United States look weak. So he's going to exploit whatever opportunity that this summit can provide, regardless of who shows up and who doesn't on the ministerial level.
The Summit of the Americas is a gathering in Los Angeles. There is news, however, attached to this. One piece of the news that is a puzzle, and I read from the headlines, Joseph, because all we can do is follow what is being said about Venezuela. This is from The Hill within hours. The U.S. will reportedly resume allowing Venezuelan oil to flow to Europe. People familiar with the matter told Reuters. The outlet reported that Eni SPA, E-N-I S-P-A, and Repsol S-A, which are Italian and Spanish respectively, could ship Venezuelan oil to Europe as early as next month after the Biden administration authorized the plan last month. People familiar with the matter told Reuters that the oil, quote, has to go to Europe. It cannot be resold elsewhere. This is a puzzle because Maduro was uninvited to the Summit of the Americas, and yet lifting a sanction that permits him to earn money and also present to the world that he has withstood the assault of the United States and its allies is a significant advantage. So, Joseph, mixed message is inadequate here. Can you sort this out for me?
Yeah, I think not just the mixed message, but I think what's really happening is you're having a bipolar policy approach to the Venezuela problem. When I say bipolars, you have on one level, you have what you want to call your public engagement with the Maduro regime. That's where the summit comes in, and you want to appear to be strong because you don't want the narrative of that you're capitulating to authoritarians or dictators anywhere in the world, much less in Latin America. This, like, if you were to do that, if you were to invite a Nicolas Maduro, that's kind of legitimizing Vladimir Putin, even in Russia, or the Ayatollahs in Iran, that the United States has strong positions against, because they're kind of part of that same authoritarian network. But on the flip side, the other policy is the behind-the-scenes policy, the quiet policy, the policy that the Biden administration doesn't talk about. Reporters tend to get wind of it and they report about it, but the administration says very little about it, which is these meetings that it's been having inside Venezuela over the course of several months. We've reported on this back in March, back in January, where they've been saying, sending delegations and envoys to go speak with the Maduro regime and in an effort to try to get the Maduro regime to go to the negotiating table in Mexico. And I think lifting sanctions was always part, that carrot, that was always part of those meetings. Now, the problem with that, John, is going to a negotiation in Mexico isn't a goal. That's the first step to get to a goal. You don't give away your leverage before you get past the first step. So I'm worried that the Biden administration is actually playing too hard of its hand. And then if they start to open up commercial relations and lift sanctions, that by the time it gets to negotiation, what are we going to negotiate? Because we've already given up our leverage.
President Duque is quoted as saying, President Duque of Colombia, the outgoing president, is quoted as saying that no dictator should be at the Summit of the Americas, which is a position that is 180 degrees from AMLO. Evidencing, however, there are voices in throughout the New World who dissent from the idea of lifting sanctions in any fashion or making concessions to dictators. I think we can generally agree, though the word dictator is associated with romantic dystopian novels, that Maduro has reigned as a man who dictates policy and used a security apparatus to enforce it, hence the flight of people from Venezuela and the collapse of the economy. So Duque, the outgoing president of Colombia, is saying no dictators. Is this significant? Is this going to give strength to other presidents throughout Latin America to speak up? Because right now it appears that the Summit of the Americas is being dominated by the dissenters.
Now, that's a good point, John, because I think the narrative is being dominated by, as you mentioned, the dissenters or those that are sympathetic to these authoritarians. But there are plenty of governments in Latin America that don't want them there, not just the government of Colombia, President Iván Duque. The president of Paraguay, Abdo, has also mentioned that he's not going to recognize Nicolas Maduro under any circumstances. The president of Ecuador, Guillermo Lasso, has a similar position. The president of Uruguay has a similar position. So there are other presidents that also do not want to have to deal with dictators in their neighborhood, but they're less vocal, or they don't have a cohesive narrative like the one that's being formed, or they don't have a figure like AMLO that's being pushing and amplifying that kind of narrative. But I would say this, John, I say that I think that this is actually a concerted effort to just make the United States look weak. Because if these governments seriously wanted Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua to attend the summit, they would have brought this up months ago. They would have brought this up during the planning of the summit, even last year when the planning was starting to take form of the summit, because it's a conversation that you want to have before you get to the days and weeks leading up to the summit, not in that specific time. You want to have that conversation well before. And what many of the people that have been organizing the summit at the State Department have said is no one mentioned that they wanted Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua to be part of the summit until the 11th hour. So that to me sounds like a concerted effort to just make the United States look weak.
The connection of all of this, especially Venezuela, the connection of all of this that haunts me, Joseph, because you've introduced me to this subject for many years, is that Tehran is intimately involved in the success of the Maduro regime to withstand the sanctions regime. Tehran has shipped gasoline to Venezuela. Tehran has taunted others about shipping arms to Venezuela. Moscow and Beijing are also part of the landscape here. But certainly, you'd have to say that Washington is apprised of the fact that Tehran is the bad actor behind many of Maduro's policies. Hezbollah, certainly, but also Hezbollah using Venezuela as a vacation resort or a place to hide its money. Choose one or choose all. So in making this Summit of the Americas a controversy, is Tehran winning this case? Is Moscow winning this case? Or is this, can we say this is entirely AMLO doing a favor for his, what do they call them, co-religionists, if this was a cult? His co-cultists.
No, John. I think you're right in the sense that I don't believe this is just AMLO doing a favor or just a circumstantial case of differences on policies or allies. I think this is a concerted effort that's managed by the strategic communications of the president of Mexico, López Obrador, but aimed at increasing the strategic influence of the external actors that are the ones behind the Maduro regime in Venezuela. You have Tehran, absolutely. They're probably the biggest partner to the Maduro regime when it comes to the illicit activity. But you have Vladimir Putin as well. Vladimir Putin is the number one arms dealer for Maduro regime and many other authoritarian regimes in Latin America. And even beyond that, you have Beijing, and you have Xi Jinping, who's looking at essentially offsetting the United States' influence and saying that we're the partner of choice inside Latin America. So AMLO is doing the bidding of all these regimes because he's part of that same alliance. That's very concerning because he is the number one trade partner, not him, but Mexico is the number one trade partner of the United States. It's a country where we share a tremendous, extensive border, and it's a country that we really can't afford to have hostilities with. But if López Obrador is taking that country, Mexico, towards the direction of these authoritarians, that means that all of Latin America is becoming in bad shape and potentially a problematic region for the United States.
Joseph Umar is the executive director of Secure Free Society. There's no final version of Venezuela and its conduct. We watch it very carefully, but now there's an indication that there's a break in the storm clouds over Caracas. Perhaps that's a good thing because the people of Venezuela have suffered these years under Maduro, not only for food security, but also medical staff, medical security. And the flight of the best educated out of Venezuela, the brain drain has moved beyond that to the young people have left. I know I've run across them in reporting out of the Darien province, making their way north to America to send money back home. So maybe lifting sanctions has a benefit. However, these are large forces that are moving, and they're not moving in the direction of democracy or transparency. We're going to turn to a climate challenge next in Peru. It's a very elaborate case of people between 50,000 and 120,000 people threatened by the break of a glacier lake caused by climate change and what is to be done. But that'll allow us also to observe about the economy of Peru. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.